Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Wonderful to see you all. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to meet in your name and learn from your word. Lord, by your Spirit, given out to all who believe, may your word teach us, rebuke us, correct us, and train us in righteousness, so that we will be thoroughly equipped for the ministry and service which you call us each to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I had the great privilege of being invited to speak to my graduating cohort and our guests about my experience studying at Ridley College. Now, I say it was a privilege because formerly, at the previous graduation I was part of from architecture, it was all a bit monotonous, you know. Oh, this person's going off to be an architect, that person's going off to be an architect. It's kind of what you expect when someone's studying architecture. The exciting thing here was that I got to look out over 100 or so graduating people, knowing that each of them have been on a unique journey with God to bring them to this point. And now we are all being sent out into the world to do that work which God has given us to do. And what stood out to me and the encouraging thing was that everyone's calling and vocation was unique. And part of the graduation is that they got to explain what each person was doing. It was such a wonderful experience. Well, today we begin a new series in the book of Acts, Unstoppable Good News. What's happened now is that the promises and purposes of God announced through Isaiah and the other prophets have now come to pass in the person of Jesus. And now the resurrected and ascended Jesus, he now appoints his people in the power of the Spirit to proclaim this good news to the ends of the earth. Well, Jesus speaks about what this purpose of what's happening here is. But in Acts chapters 1 to 12, which we explored 2 years ago, it recounts the progress of this good news as it moves out from the city of Jerusalem to the areas of Judea, Samaria. And now in Acts 13 and onwards, the gospel moves out further in the power of the Spirit to the ends of the earth. Well, according to theologian David Cook, he says that Luke's purpose as the composer of Acts is to show the gospel reaching out, carried by the Spirit-empowered messengers under God's superintendence to Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile. This is the melody of Acts. It's the fulfillment of God's plan to gather in his people from the far reaches of the earth. Christ is ascended, but he continues to direct his church and empower it through his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to use his people to spread the good news today. And so as we look at Acts chapter 13 today, the big idea I want us to come away from is that Acts chapter 13 is all about how the Holy Spirit uses people to spread the good news. And so I want us to each sit with this question in our minds: how is the Holy Spirit using me? How is the Holy Spirit using me? Well, the first way we see the Holy Spirit spreading the good news is he sets apart and sends. We see this in the first 5 verses. Now back in Acts chapter 11, the good news of the gospel, it has arrived to Antioch. Now, it is north of Palestine. I've got it circled there. North of Palestine, it's in modern-day Turkey. And now over a year has passed, and the church there has experienced growth. And it really became the first place where significant numbers of non-Jewish people first heard about and experienced salvation and joy in Jesus. Now that's an important thing which we're going to come back to next week. See, in Antioch, they knew the good news wasn't just for Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. It was for the nations. And now in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit uses people for the continued progress of this good news. The Spirit sets apart and sends. Or from verse 2, while they, that is the church at Antioch, were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. As we see throughout the whole of the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit leads the church in its mission. God takes the initiative at every step and every new development of the Christian witness. But then alongside that, we see the church in its willingness to step up and do its part too, to be used by God. As Nikki Gumbel, founder of Alpha, says, "The early church was determined to find out what God was doing and join in." And I hope that is our desire as well. The Spirit calls people to be set apart for a particular ministry and sends them out to do that work in the power of the same Spirit. And He still does that today. Now, this is true of our ministry staff here, both lay and ordained. This is also true for our mission partners, whether they're with CMS, MAF, OMS, or AFES, or some other acronym you can think of. Now, this calling also includes all the other local ministries which many of you are involved with, like Whitehorse Church's Care and Link and Alpha, at Beach Missions, Drop-In, Going, our school holiday program. The list goes on. Like Barnabas and Saul, the Spirit continues to set apart and send people today. And while some are, you don't need to travel overseas to be set apart and sent. There is a world that needs to hear this good news right outside our door. Do you feel the Holy Spirit calling you to be set apart and sent, whether that's locally or abroad? Sent to do the work which He has uniquely prepared for you to do. Now, I admit the language and the concept of being called into ministry, it can sound and it can seem a little bit cerebral and nebulous. So if you do want to keep thinking about this, I would love to have a conversation with you. I would love that. And to give you some tools and to help you discern in a more concrete way. Well, the second way the Holy Spirit spreads the good news is He shields and defends amid spiritual attack. Verses 6 to 12. Well, after they are sent, Barnabas and Saul, along with John Mark, their companion, make their way to the island of Cyprus. Now, back in Acts 4, by the way, it says that Barnabas was actually from Cyprus originally. So he was coming back to his home turf. Sometimes God in His providence calls us back to witness to those who have known us the longest. Well, Barnabas and Saul, they proclaim the good news in every town and city they can find. And eventually they arrive at the west end of the island. Now, so far, they've been speaking to Jewish crowds. After all, Jesus was the expected Jewish Messiah, and so it made sense to present Him to the Jews first. But then out of nowhere, they get an invite from a high-ranking Gentile, a Roman official named Sergius Paulus. And it's amazing because even he wants to hear about this good news as well. And so Barnabas and Saul, they start talking to Sergius about Jesus. But as soon as they start talking, along comes a different Jesus, a sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He stands in spiritual opposition to the good news about the real Jesus. And in the midst of this, we see that the Holy Spirit shields and defends the progress of the gospel. In a very dramatic turn of events, which I don't recommend we try and replicate, but Bar-Jesus was struck blind and Sergius became a believer. Bar-Jesus' attempts to thwart the good news had actually achieved precisely the opposite of what he had hoped. Several years ago, hundreds of Chinese underground church pastors, they met for a conference. And one woman there, she shared her testimony of how her husband, they were a husband and wife pastor duo, she shared how her husband had been sent to a labor camp, imprisoned for 5 years for preaching Jesus. And then as she shared, she started to weep. Not because of her husband's misfortune, but tears of joy. Because earlier that day, she had just learned that her husband had led the two top officials of the labor camp to Jesus Christ. The authorities' attempts to thwart the good news actually achieved precisely the opposite of what they had hoped. And this wife, she was overjoyed at the glorious opportunity for the gospel to have been brought into such a dark place. Has God put you in a spiritually hostile context? Is witnessing at your place of work or leisure fraught with challenges and opposition? Is there something or someone in your life actively attempting to bar Jesus from your conversations with others? Remember from this chapter that part of the Spirit's work is to shield and defend the progress of the gospel. So let's not let hostility and opposition stop us from being a witness. Because it can sometimes be precisely those things that God can use to bring people to faith. The third way that the Holy Spirit spreads the good news is he speaks through Scripture. Well, Paul and his companions are on the move again. They make their way up north. And so they work their way up north. Eventually, they get to a city of Antioch. It's a different Antioch to the one they started with, just like how you seem to be able to find a Richmond in every state of Australia. Now, on the Sabbath, as was pretty normal, they enter into the synagogue. There's a reading from the law and the prophets, and they are invited to speak. And so Paul does. And speaking to a Jewish audience, Paul spends quite some time giving a beautiful potted history of the Jewish people. He's quoting the storyline of the Bible. Just as an aside, if you are ever wanting to know how the Bible actually follows a bit of a trajectory and how that connects with Jesus, read all of chapter 13. It's really helpful and it's nice. Great summary and length. Really helpful. And so what Paul does is he quotes and cross-references a whole bunch of Old Testament allusions and quotations and psalms and all sorts of things. Why? Well, for the early church and for us today, we believe God speaks through Scripture. All scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3. His word is living and active, Hebrews 4. We have a God who is not silent. And his whole word ultimately points us to Jesus. His word speaks and points to Jesus. And that is what Paul does here. Paul's emphasis throughout his sermon, there's so much about promises and faithfulness and fulfillment in this. His emphasis throughout the whole sermon is to show God's faithfulness to his promises to Israel. And these are promises that were ultimately fulfilled in Christ. If you're looking for some verses to memorize this week, verses 32 and 33 are great. We tell you the good news, that is the gospel. We tell you the gospel. What God promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. And now, having made that wonderful proclamation to God's people, Paul applies his sermon by saying, verse 38, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, through Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from every sin. What a wonderful message. Catriona grew up hating Christians. Being a scientist, well, she knew what was real. And she didn't need to believe in foolish things like God. However, all that changed as she was confronted with the decline and eventual death of both of her parents. Kat told the Anglican minister who was conducting the funeral for her mum, "I don't want you to mention God." But in faith, the minister ignored her request and spoke about him anyway. Furious, Kat decided that she really had better learn about this God that she hated and rejected so much. Now, it didn't happen overnight, but with the encouragement of that same church community, she looked into God's word and particularly was looking at the texts that talk about the power of the cross. And in her words, on a park bench in West Hobart, with a hamburger in one hand and a chip in the other, I gave my life to Christ. I had no choice. God could not let me go. Now I never want to have a life without Jesus. Kat was one of the ladies in my Ridley cohort, who is now an Anglican minister herself. Through his Spirit, God's word speaks salvation, forgiveness, and freedom. Just sitting down with someone and reading his word together with them can change their life. Is there somebody in your life that the Spirit is calling you to come alongside in this way? You don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to prepare anything. Just open his word and let his Spirit speak. Well, finally, from verses 42 onwards, we see that the Holy Spirit sovereignly saves. As Paul and Barnabas, they leave the synagogue. Well, their preaching of the gospel, it generated quite a number of reactions. For some, curiosity, verse 42. They wanted to hear more, and so they invited them to speak again next week. But for others, verse 43, hunger. Hunger. See, a week, that's too long to wait. And so they followed Paul and Barnabas everywhere they went each day. They were being fed, not only through the weekly sermon, but in the incidental study and conversations during the week. Then in verse 44 and on, we find rejection. Now, it had been quite a week, because by the time that the next Saturday came around, Luke writes, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Can you imagine that, if the whole city of, or the whole area of Blackburn North suddenly arrived here on a Sunday? It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But seeing this good news spread throughout the town, for the Jewish leaders, they were filled with jealousy. So much so that they vocally rejected their message. They were trying to undercut it, undermine it, trying to push it away, and they heaped abuse on Paul and Barnabas too. Well, finally, in verse 48, we see the Gentiles respond with saving faith. Verse 48, when the Gentiles heard this, this is that God's news of salvation was for them as well. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. I love that we can see God's hand in this. You and I can never know the way that someone will react when they hear the gospel. You know, some will be curious. Others will be hungry and will want to learn more and more, and that's wonderful. Some will reject it outright, and others will believe. God is the one who changes people's hearts. The Spirit is the one who enables the truth of who Jesus is to take hold in people's lives. And so for us, when we talk to others about Jesus, it should be a relief to know that it's not up to us. It's not up to how well I can remember that four-point outline or whether I stumble up my words. Actually, it's not up to us. God is the one who does his work in people. He simply calls us to be willing to give it a try. And that is certainly a relief to me. The Spirit, in his goodness, can use our feeble prayers, our nervous invitations, our imperfect conversations. And he can use them to bring about saving faith in people. Because you just might be the one person that God will use to change someone's life. Growing up, my next door neighbour was an old man named George. Now, he was a bit cantankerous, particularly towards Christians and the Bible. One particular year, our church was running Alpha, And so as a long shot, my dad invited George to come along. And to everyone's surprise, George said yes. And through his weeks at Alpha, and through some significant things that was happening during that time in George's life, and through what Jesus was doing in his life over that time, well, George became a Christian. And his family recognized, and we recognized, that his personality and his outlook on life was transformed for the better. He no longer saw the Bible as something that Christians used as a weapon to fight other people, but now as a story about his Savior. The Spirit sovereignly saves people. He had clearly been working in George's heart. All George needed was an invitation. And I know that some of you have stories similar to George's. Praise God for that. Well, this morning, we've seen from Acts chapter 13 that the Spirit sets apart and sends. He shields amidst spiritual attack. He speaks through Scripture, and he sovereignly saves. And the exciting thing is that he involves people just like you and me in what he is doing. And so I guess my question is, do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be a part of it? How is the Spirit using you to spread his good news? Well, one way which we can respond to Acts 13 is by praying for opportunities to share the gospel, share the good news with the people in our circles, and for God to be revealing to himself to them by his Spirit. Now, Anne did a great job at telling us all about what we're doing over this series. We thought we're looking at the progress of the good news, and of course, it's not just a historical thing. This is good news that changes our lives today. And so I also want to invite you to join us in what we're calling Pair for Prayer. Would you consider praying with one or two others for the duration of the Acts series? We would love to see many people participate in this vital ministry of prayer, because we are confident that God can do powerful things in the lives of people beyond what we can do in our own strength. And so let me pray for us now. Well, Heavenly Father, in Colossians 4, you call us to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And so, Lord, may we be a people of prayer, relying on you in everything we do, and recognizing the task ahead of us. You call us to be messengers, to be ambassadors of Christ. Lord, may you give us what we need to do your work. May we be reliant on you in prayer as we go about that task. And we pray that you may open a door for your message, and so we may proclaim the good news of Christ. Lord, we bring before you those known to us in our circles, the one or two people that we are particularly thinking of right now. Lord, we pray that you would bring about opportunities in their lives for us and for other Christians to speak your good news into their lives. And finally, we pray that we would proclaim your good news clearly as we should. Lord, sometimes we don't know what to say, but your Son Jesus promised that our Spirit would give us the words to say. And Lord, we recognize that it is not up to us, but it is your doing in people's hearts. And so, Lord, we ask that when these opportunities come, when you bring them to us, you would give us the words that we need to say to bring words of hope and light and life. And we ask all of this in your Son Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.